Everybody's ego takes a shot on this show.
You gotta keep your chill with Jim, Matt, and Molly.
I am savage.
So you're not special.
Jim, if we want to play this game, we can play this game.
And I'm just like, my God, this guy's gonna swing on Jim.
He's a complicated fellow.
People like me.
I don't think so.
This is the Jim, Matt, and Molly Takeover, presented by Coors Light on ESPN Wisconsin and Wisconsin On Demand.
I'm a college basketball fan for literally this week. I like the volume.
I get the volume part of it.
And when you have like severe ADD like me going into a place that has literally like 8 different games going on at once, it is whelming. It's not overwhelming. It's whelming. It's perfect for a guy like me.
That's an interesting take.
You said earlier this week that I love watching basketball
for these couple days, but it's clearly at a bar with a Coors in the hand.
So you love watching, you don't love remembering. I'll remember that next
exactly.
time.
Exactly.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison, alongside gold medalist Matt Hamilton and downtown Molly Brown, here's Jim Rutledge.
It is hour number 2. Starting extremely late here on Wilde and Tausch. It is the Jim, Matt, and Molly takeover of Wilde and Tausch on ESPN Wisconsin. I am Jim Rutledge alongside Matt Hamilton, the Olympic gold medalist, and Molly Brown. It's just Molly Brown. I don't have any cool things to go with me either, Molly
Brown.
I'm not
an Olympian.
I'm not an Olympian. What is your most impressive athletic feat?
A mother to twins.
There you go.
That's pretty good. For sure, dude.
And that definitely trumps gold medal.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Sorry, yeah. Matt.
Molly. Yeah. I know they were talking to you on KBN earlier this week. You did the questions for Are You Smarter Than Ben Brust?
And I crushed it.
You did. You did crush it.
And I didn't get fired.
Ben Brust not crushing it once again as usual. But what was the nickname that he said your dad had for you back in the day?
I'm not saying it again.
Why not?
Because it's stupid. And the fact that I said this nickname that my dad gave me about, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago when Ben was on Scalzo and Brust, and he still remembers it. Like, how?
It can't be worse than... So, Primetime Warshine is behind the glass. And, again, this is the Jim, Matt, Molly takeover of Wilde and Tausch across ESPN Wisconsin. Jim, Matt, Molly, we do this show normally 4 to 6 on ESPN Madison. We always are blessed once in a while with the opportunity to fill in for Wilde and Tausch. We are presented by Coors Light. If the mountains are blue, you know what to do.
And that's crush a Coors Light.
I do have the power. And we're going to get back to the phone lines in a second. But we want to talk about nicknames. Our good friend Alex Strofe, who used to produce this show.
No idea.
And he's known for being the least athletic person in the state of Wisconsin. Not on ESPN Wisconsin. I mean in the state. I mean, he is basically, and I've said this before, the wacky, wavy, inflatable tube guy come
100%.
To life. Like if he was Pinocchio'd. And so that person came to life. He carries the same personality, athletic build, and athletic prowess of the wacky, wavy, inflatable balloon guy that you see in front of a car dealership. And his mom's nickname for him, though, and I want to share this across the ESPN Wisconsin platform because I feel like sometimes if Ben, who is on KBN, is coming after Molly Brown for an old nickname, then I think we need to do the same thing, Alex Strofe, the producer. I don't know what your nickname was, but Honey Boo Boo, that was Alex Strofe's nickname for his mom.
His mom.
No, Kitty, what was it?
Kitty
Boo Boo. What was it, Kitty?
Yeah, because there's some movie, right? That
Boo Boo Kitty.
Boo Boo Kitty. There you go. Boo Boo Kitty.
It was Boo Boo Kitty.
Boo Boo Kitty. There you go. The nickname for Alex Strofe was Boo Boo Kitty growing up. Is your nickname better or worse than Boo Boo Kitty?
Cringe.
I'll just tell you it. Okay, it's Maladina Muffin Pie. That's literally what my dad used to call me.
That's much
but
better.
But it's so stupid, and I literally forget that my dad used to call me it because he doesn't call me it anymore. Because like I said, I'm 28 years old. He doesn't call me that anymore.
One more time.
But like. Maladina Muffin Pie.
Maladina Muffin Pie.
It is so stupid. But it's like, how does Ben Brust even remember that? It is like a mouthful of nickname.
Yeah. So 844-770-3776, the Carver's Talk and Text Line list is more. Since we're going to have some show-on-show interaction, I feel like we need more of that on ESPN Wisconsin. So which childhood nickname is more embarrassing?
I feel bad that Strofe is catching a stray, though. Like, we got to find out Ben's nickname.
I don't, you know, I don't know what Ben's.
There's
is,
Ben has said plenty of things Benny on Buzzcut? Here. He doesn't need a nickname. Like everyone knows a lot of Ben's.
That's fair.
Dark secrets, I guess.
So, Boo Boo Kitty or what was it again?
Maladina Muffin Pie.
And you also could chime in if you want to help Molly and Alex out. Share your embarrassing nickname if you had one when you were a kid.
Please do.
844-770-3776. If you have one, go ahead and share it. Do you have one, Matt?
Yeah. So I couldn't say Matthew until I was like 5 or 6. So when I said my name, it was Mafu.
Okay.
So I became Fufu. I'm a nut.
So we got Fufu in
and
there
like,
as well?
And I'll still get Fufu from like my... like. I've got like basically like a second mom. I grew up up the road from her, and we hung out
How
at their
would
house all the time.
Fufu, because when I wrote it down, like, it was not appropriate.
Like the same as Boo Boo,
okay,
except with an F.
Okay, all right.
Two O's.
Prime.
My mother affectionately called me Chippy as a kid.
Why Chippy?
Because I ate a lot of potato chips.
Okay.
Because he looked like a chipmunk.
Yep. Clearly.
He would stuff potato chips in his cheeks until he looked like a chipmunk.
You got it. That was it.
I will have to... My understanding Chippy. Is I didn't have a nickname. I am notorious for when I was about, I think in kindergarten or first grade, I sat my parents down and told them politely to stop calling me Jimmy, but I am Jim.
You sat them down.
I said, Judgmental hey, I am Jim. Jim now. Please stop calling me Jimmy. So, thank you. Please and thank you. Now, as I get older, first grade, maybe kindergarten.
So Daddy, don't call me Jimmy anymore.
Yes, it makes me feel better that you were like this the entire time.
Forever. I'll tell you something mean that I did that my mom is scarred for life. And so around that same age, you get in a car as a kid and your mom's a good mom. And my mom was a good mom. And you get in the car and she's like, how was your day? Blah, blah, blah. Well, for whatever reason, I thought I should just dunk on my mom. So I told all my friends, here's exactly what my mom's going to say when we get in the car. We got in the car. She said that thing. They all laughed at her. And it scarred her for life. So, like, and this was probably, again, first or second grade. So, yes,
terrible.
I've been this way forever.
All right.
So, it's not
born
personal.
This way.
Yes, I was born this way. Now, full circle moment, my daughter is now me. So,
there you go. You're getting your revenge.
This is what we have to live with. So, again, before we get the break here, and then we'll come back and talk with Ari Temkin a little bit later in the show, talking about BYU in Wisconsin. We got to get kind of reset here. But share your embarrassing nickname for when you were a kid in honor of Molly Brown, and your nickname was...
Maladina Muffin Pie. Savage.
Why are we not making Fufu? That time was so good.
Why are we not making Fufu say Fufu constantly?
Fine, we can go. I can't remember yours. Like,
exactly,
yours is harder.
Exactly.
Maladina Muffin Pie is so good.
And Boo Boo Kitty for Alex Stroff. So we can chime in on any one of those three. Fufu, Boo Boo Kitty, or Maladina Muffin Pie.
Yep. Correct.
All right. We're taking a risk there. All right. 844-770-3776. The Carbo's Talking text line. Which one was more embarrassing? This is Jim, Matt, and Molly presented by Coors Light.
This is Wilde and Tausch presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today. 855-PELLA-WI and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Jim, Matt, Molly takeover of Wilde and Tausch continues on ESPN Wisconsin. I'm Jim Rutledge alongside Molly Brown and Matt Hamilton. It is Fish Friday, so if you are new to the show, and if you're not in Madison, you probably are. We are in a new time slot. We're normally on 4 to 6, and you can see us out right now on the ESPN Madison YouTube stream as well. Primetime Lorsheim behind the glass. Matt Hamilton is very much like a golden retriever in the idea that I've... accidentally trained him that every time I say you can see us on the ESPN Madison YouTube stream, he waves.
Hi. Hi, Mom.
It's Fufu.
I just want you all to know that I'm here for you.
You can get into the show, 844-770-3776. That's a Carbo's Talking text line. This is more. We're going to be joined by Ari Temkin of the Big 12 Radio Network on TuneIn Radio, and he's going to tell us a little bit about BYU. We did have a few people chime in on a Side of the Limited poll question that we are throwing out to people. Basically, we put this one at Jim, Matt, and Molly. Which childhood nickname is the most embarrassing Maladina Muffin Pie for Molly Brown, Boo Boo Kitty for Alex Strofe, or Foo Foo for Matt Hamilton. We also asked in a show of solidarity if you have a nickname from childhood that you want to share. You can 844-770-3776 on the Carpus Talking text line. List is more. And again, my understanding, and like trying to confirm this with my brother, there wasn't any for me, but I was also just notoriously always an ass. And so I nipped in the bud when my parents called me Jimmy. Now, as an adult, people call me what you want. I don't really care. Different people have called me many different things, some nice, some not so nice, and I'm fine with them all. But
Judgmental Jim.
Judgmental Jim is definitely one of them. Leroy in Plain, Wisconsin says, my nickname through school was Brass Onions. I have to change a little bit there. It was not necessarily fully his nickname, but
okay.
I am going to go and change that to Onions instead of the other one. I'm not sure if the other one's inappropriate, but we're just going to change it to Onions. You can get the idea of it. And then we had another one. Basically, Mike from Madison chimed in of the Whiners. So basically, Mike the Whiner was his nickname as a kid. It was an SNL skit about a family of complainers called the Whiners, and his parents would relentlessly call him Little Mikey Whiner in a high-pitched, whiny voice. That was always a lot of fun.
On the Savage. On the wow. YouTube stream, Josh chimes in with Josh the Squash.
Okay.
Josh the Squash.
That's pretty good.
And the whining thing would be definitely, obviously, if you're a parent, you kind of got the a lot of nicknames for whiners. My kids, Nola, her name's Magnolia. She goes a lot by Nola Bear. But other than, I'm probably the last person that calls her that. She seems fine with it. She's still eight. But I would say when she grows up, that will be hers.
A couple of years, that's good. The bear, you're going to have to drop the bear.
I agree, but it's still better than Boo Boo Kitty or Molly.
She's
going to
sit you down and be like, Jimmy, you should call me.
See, here's the thing. I have hope. She is, and my wife's super sweet and nice, but Nola, I don't know whose child. She is the nicest, sweetest human being I've met in my life. Like, nobody thinks about anyone more than her, and nobody's more sympathetic and empathetic than her. I don't know. Basically, she saw the rest of us and said, and basically me and my older daughter, Rosie specifically, and said, I'm going to do the opposite. So she might not do it because she might just be better than the rest of us. But to your point, she has every right to.
Yeah.
Absolutely. 844-770-3776. We're going to get to some more Badger talk and get back on track with sports here. But we had Jason Wilde on extra long before, and you can listen back Wisconsin on Demand, Apple, Spotify, any of those great places, because we wanted to get his thoughts on the Packers. And I do have a working theory on the Packers that I think some of the roster building is indicating at this point in his career, the Packers view Jordan Love more on par with Brock Purdy and Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold, just based off the way that they're team building. And I think they should continue that, which means adding more weapons. I think the only flaw that they have right now in this idea, because I think they're correct on it, is that they need more pass-catching options. But to me, 12 personnel, do what the Lions did with Jared Goff. Get Jordan Love to Jared Goff's level, because he's not there. Jared Goff is the best quarterback in the North right now, and it's not really up for debate. And so when you have this discussion, how do you get Jordan Love to that level? Mm-hmm. Well, Detroit landed a lot of 12 personnel, and then you're running the ball with Montgomery and Gibbs. The Packers could do that with Jacobs and Lloyd. And then you got Musgrave and Kraft, run two tight ends. And then, you know, then you can do a lot of building off of the play action. And Jordan Love is at his best when he can drop back, clean pocket, someone's running wide open. Because you look at his best games, it was when guys were running wide open. And I think the best way to scheme people running wide open for Jordan Love, and this isn't a knock on him, not a quarterback can't even do that. He is very good, play action, drop back, knows where the routes are supposed to be. He's been in this offense now coming up on 6 years, so he knows how to run it. If someone's running wide open and he's not facing pressure, he can deliver that ball on the money. It's when things are not wide open or he's under pressure that he becomes more pedestrian.
Which I think is probably pretty accurate for most quarterbacks, like you were saying. But do you think that Jordan Love basically needs to be groomed to be a game manager? If you're saying he needs to have all these pieces around him, and you were comparing him to Brock Purdy before,
is
that what he needs to be?
For now, he still could get to Jared Goff level. I think game manager isn't the right term for Brock Purdy. And I think Brock and Love are probably closer peers. But Baker Mayfield is a guy that he's better when he has better players around him. And I think that's most quarterbacks. So I don't know what you want to call that category. I think game manager is a bit too negative, but they're not win because of. You win with guys. And that's where I think Jordan Love is. That's where I think most quarterbacks are, is you win. You can win with this guy. There's very few. Jalen Hurts, I think, is still a win with. And what did the Eagles do? They surrounded him with talent, and they added Saquon Barkley. Mm-hmm. And now you're winning, you know. You win a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. So I think that's where Jordan Love lands. We're going to get back to that conversation in a little bit, but we are excited on the other side to be joined by Ari Temkin, host for Big 12 Radio on the TuneIn Radio Network. Talk a little BYU versus Wisconsin. This is the Jim, Matt, and Molly takeover of Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Continues live from the Everlight Solar Studio. A little John Denver, Rocky Mountain High. I did tell Ryan initially I didn't recognize the song. I do recognize the Rocky Mountain High. I would say West Virginia is probably the John Denver song I know the most.
Yeah.
That one's getting a lot of playtime lately, too, on commercials.
Is it? I remember it. The most recent time I remember it in like the lexicon of pop culture was in The Office. Then Andy Bernard and... I think one of the other characters played it on a banjo in the break room.
Yeah.
In The Office.
So what, do you like this or Nickelback better?
I'll take this over Nickelback. Okay. Absolutely. John Denver is probably in some sort of Hall of Fame. Nickelback is maybe getting in the Canadian Hall of Fame. That's about it. Matt Hamilton and Jim Rutledge. And look, I love Canada. So like, I love their sovereignty. I love everything about them. Canada is fantastic. So. Stay golden, Canada. Molly Brown, Jim Rutledge with you in the Everlight Solar Studio.
Sorry that playing John Denver derailed it this much. I really didn't think. I just knew the Badgers were playing in Denver. That's where they're playing against BYU. That's why I thought there'd be a connection. I didn't realize it would take us down this road to Canada.
We're taking the road out to Ari Temkin, host for Big 12 Radio on the TuneIn Radio Network. And we're talking a little BYU and Wisconsin in a minute. But... you are a Kansas grad, and I have this note here that he says this was the worst team for Jayhawks basketball in the last 35 years. So if you want to take a minute as a Kansas fan, there's two people that one I think is fair. Badger fans don't like Hunter Dickerson, and that's fine. The other one is AJ Storr, which I think you just in your feels like kids transfer now. But if you want to share your thoughts on those two players' impact on Kansas and the Jayhawks, we're happy to hear those first.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you guys having me on. Really excited to be on here. It was actually 37 years, Jim. I said 35, but it's 37. So
okay.
Roy Williams' first year, Larry Brown won the national championship with Danny Manning and the Miracles in 88. And then Larry Brown, the coach, left and went to the Spurs. And Roy Williams' first year, 88, 89, they did not make the tournament and won 19 games, okay? They've made the tournament subsequently every year since then. But they won 21 ball games this year, which is basically the least since 19 in 88, 89 when they didn't make the tournament. You know, first time they are out in the first round since 2006. I mean, it's a crazy standard. There's no doubt about that, right? I mean, for most teams in Division I college basketball, making the tournament is, you know, that's a success, but not for Kansas and certainly not in Bill Self's tenure. And, you know, it's funny you say that about Dickinson because I think as he leaves Kansas, Hunter Dickinson is probably disliked by Kansas fans more than anybody. And, I mean, the truth of the matter is, like, that dude worked his tail off, got beat up for 2 years. I mean, look, he made some money, and good for him because he's going to now play overseas, you know, professionally. But he had a horrible ball game last night. I mean, they absolutely could not close this game out. It was crazy. One of their – you know, KJ Adams, who's from the Austin area, he went down basically tore his Achilles late in this game, was having a great game. They were up 67-64, and then they just proceeded to turn the ball over on every single possession. They did not, their last bucket came with 13 seconds left. So, but You know, they completely fell apart at the end of this game when KJ Adams got hurt. But Dickinson, just down the stretch, turnover after turnover, which it was just the perfect metaphor for this horrible season for them. It really was, because it was just this. I mean, they beat Michigan State and Duke and started 7-0.
Wow.
I mean, think about that. They started 7-0 with wins over Michigan State and Duke, and they lose as a 7 seed with 21 wins in the first round. Wild. So, and Arkansas was another best player. And oh, and by the way, and Store, yeah. on Store.
Yeah.
So Store had a miserable season, mm-hmm. got a lot of money, obviously, played very well. He scored like 19 points against UCF in the Big 12 conference tournament, and then went off last night, played about as well as could have played. So in the biggest games of the season, you could say Store showed up. But yeah, it was he wasn't enough to save this horrible season for Kansas.
So with Kansas, the way you talk about them, and this is more of a big picture discussion about Badger basketball specifically, because I guess I, for one, was hopeful that Bo Ryan, who never missed the NCAA tournament, right. never finished lower than fourth in the Big Ten Conference, won 30 games a couple times during his run, got to obviously multiple Sweet 16s, two Final Fours, a championship game, and I thought maybe he would be the Roy Williams. We never really had a Larry Brown into Roy Williams, but like the Roy Williams for Wisconsin basketball. I think he only lost in the first round of the NCAA tournament one time. I think he ended on like a 9 or 10 game streak of at least winning one game in the NCAA tournament, and Wisconsin is not that program anymore. And the question is, it's not a bad program, but when you talk about Kansas being embarrassed in one of their worst seasons in 37 years with 21 wins, that seems to be a pretty regular sort of season for the Badgers. They're having a better year this year. But what do you think with the NIL and obviously the amount of money that Wisconsin spends on the football program? Like, what is your outside look at Wisconsin?
Yeah. Kansas is starting to get there, but I mean, that's, you know, Kansas, Wisconsin football is Kansas basketball. That's our deal.
Yeah. So
right? I mean,
is that, are we destined to be Kansas football version of basketball? Is kind of my question here from the outside looking
in. No. So what's interesting is you got a guy at Iowa State, TJ Otzelberger, who is from the Milwaukee area. He's playing a first-round game here coming up against Lipscomb in Milwaukee. He helped to recruit as an assistant at Iowa State, Tyrese Halliburton, to Iowa State from Milan Manchilovic, who was hurt for a big portion of this year for Iowa State, obviously from Wisconsin. There's a ton of talent coming out of the area. It's going to Iowa State right now. TJ Otzelberger has got it cooking. You know, the guy from Milwaukee is getting everybody to Iowa State. And Halliburton is helping too. I mean, he's vocal on social and reaching out to guys from the area. Like, and they're playing a tournament game there. Couldn't have worked out any better for Iowa State. And that's obviously huge for the Big 12. But look, there's a ton of talent in that state. We know that, you know, right? So, I that's a huge part of it. There's no reason that Wisconsin can't be competing for Final Fours, and once you get there, you know, it's you got to catch some breaks with health and everything else, like in sport. I mean, sports, you guys know this, like health, there's a lot of luck involved in things like that when it comes down to these marathon seasons. Football's the same way now. I mean, you got to play, think about it, you know, playing for the national title now with the playoff, and it's only going to expand. You got to win 18, 19 football games, or, you know, 16, 17 football. It's incredible. It's insane the type of, you know, depth you need to win, because there's so many games, and, you know, they're going to expand the NCAA tournament eventually to 76 teams. I mean, it's only a matter of when. Same deal. Like, you're like all these teams, it's all about staying healthy at the right time.
Wisconsin takes on BYU tomorrow night at 6:45 on CBS. What are your thoughts heading into that matchup? Give us some insights on BYU.
Yeah, I love this BYU basketball team. So, I mean, they have not had a lot of tournament success. BYU has the most tournament appearances, 32, without a Final Four. And, I mean, they just won their first tournament game since 2012. So it was a big-time win for them. And a lot of people picked VCU to upset them. And they took care of business. This is a three-point shooting team. So it's crazy that they were outscored significantly for the three-point line. I mean, VCU hit twice as many threes as BYU, and they still won by double digits. So, or what, 9 ended up being the final score? So, you know, Yegor Demon had a fantastic game. He's a true freshman. He's got a guy that's a potential to be a top 5 pick in the NBA draft. And, like, the difference with BYU now is they've got this guy, Kevin Young, who turned down the head coaching job of the Nets a few years ago. Longtime NBA assistant coach, and this guys, this is like the future of college basketball coaching. When you talk about like the Jay Wrights and the you know, the Roy Williamses, those guys like retiring, Krzyzewski moving on, not wanting to coach in this, you know, NIL era. Like Kevin Young, NBA assistants, Utah looks like is, I think, going to hire Alex Jensen, the assistant for the Mavericks. So Young, I mean, he was a longtime assistant with the Suns. He's got, you know, Kevin Durant and Chris Paul. I mean, Chris Paul's second life of his career was attributed to Kevin Young. He's got these guys calling recruits, just been, you know, vouching for him and talking about how good of a coach he is. And it's the proof's in the pudding. I mean, to me, this is the most underrated team, and he's the most underrated coach of college basketball. You know, obviously, I know this is the Wisconsin's opponent here, and I'm speaking very highly of BYU as a Big 12 team. But seriously, like, it's really interesting what they've got going on. They're pouring tons and tons of money through their NIL program to fund this. They've got AJ DeBanza, the number one player in the country, coming in next year. And I mean, they're, you know, more on the way again, because they, not just the money, but the ability of this guy to, you know, to coach and the track record that he has, and NBA guys calling him. That helps. And I'll tell you the other thing, just watching them, they just run a lot of NBA type sets, you know, a lot of NBA motions and stuff. And so they're a fun team to watch. This should be a really good basketball game. I mean, you know, Wisconsin, they're never out of any game. So, I mean, and for BYU's lack of success in the tournament to get to the second weekend, that would be incredible for them. But, you know, there's been a lot more success for Wisconsin in that department of late than for BYU. But, you know, the 3-point shooting is the key. And the fact that they won the game against VCU really on the inside with Demon as their true freshman, who at times has looked like the stage is too big. Like, this team is very deep, very good 3-point shooting team. And again, they showed their versatility, because, you know, the ability in this, when you got to win 6 games to win a national title, you have to play different styles. Mm-hmm. And the teams that can do that are the teams that advance. The teams that can't aren't the teams that aren't going to advance.
You don't make me feel any better about this matchup, if I'm being honest.
Well, I want to say this part of it. BYU, I mean, they could be – this is not Jim McMahon and Danny Ainge's BYU. And this program is spending money, maybe – what I'm reading, more than any other program is. So, like, the players now are legit, as Ari is touching on. But, like, this is a program that is going to be hanging around for a while. So this isn't – like, any preconceived notion you have what BYU is, throw it out the window when you're getting ready to watch this game.
And the thing is, thing is, BYU got underseeded because of the LDS thing, and they can't play on Sunday, so they always get the you know, they always get the not the benefit of the doubt there.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Fair enough. My question is a little bit more related to like the athleticism of both teams. BYU, every home game, 4,500 feet of elevation. They're going to Denver, just a little bit higher. Badgers, for all intents and purposes, almost sea level. Do you think, like, obviously the Badgers have been out there for a little bit now, but I've competed in Denver as a curler, not nearly to the endurance level that a basketball player needs, and I am absolutely gassed after, like, a really long sweep or something like that. What kind of effect do you think this elevation is going to have to a team that, like BYU, who experiences it constantly, to a Badger team who is trying to acclimate on the fly?
Look, you just said it, right? I mean, you've done it, and mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes a difference. They're absolutely used to playing at this elevation, and that it's funny because I just said, like, oh, they're usually underseeded, but they, like, that's part of the luck factor here, mm-hmm. is location. It, you know, that's huge. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that's a part of it. So, you know, who's the more athletic team? Will it, you know, will there be more of an advantage there too? I mean, that's a question. I mean, BYU has just interesting lineups. They can mix and match. They really could go 9 or 10 deep, and they will, because, like, they got, I mean, and especially of late, this guy, Kiba Kita, he is just a freak athletically, rebounds, block shots. He gets up and down the floor. He really helps in the offensive glass. I mean, BYU, I think, aside from the 3-point shooting, their ability to rebound is so key. So, like, Wisconsin, if they can win the rebounds, that's where they're going to have a shot, I think, in this game.
All right.
But there's no doubt, like you said, the elevation thing is a huge advantage for BYU here.
Talking with Ari Temkin as we are looking at Wisconsin versus BYU. This is Jim Matmala, the takeover of Wilde and Tausch. And I guess the other part of it is, Ari, as you look at this, Wisconsin in general, last question for you, is just how far do you think they can go if they get by a team like BYU? Because I think it's an indication that if they get by a team like BYU, they can be multiple, like you were touching on earlier, that if they can beat a team like Montana, where nobody was taller than 6'7", and then the next time we play BYU, which has got some pro prospects in a more of a pro style, and then if they have to face Alabama or other teams, then it kind of does say the Badgers are more multiple than we think. My concern is that they are a one-trick pony. They can shoot the three, and when they make the three, they're really good. They're not great offensive rebounding, and they're not, I think Blackwell is the only guard that consistently can penetrate and create off of that. So those are my concerns. So what are your views seeing Wisconsin over the year in the tournament?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think Bama showed last year that they can be more versatile than I think people give them credit for. Mm-hmm. And I mean, are they as good as last year's team that went to a Final Four? I don't know. I mean, Rylan Griffin was a starter on that Alabama team last year as a 40% three-point shooter and transferred to Kansas and had an absolutely miserable year this year for the Jayhawks. Just another part of that. Another A.J. Stewart and Rylan Griffin were supposed to be like the best wings in the preseason number one team. And so, but no, I mean, Bama, you know, look, they're very good, and they loom, I think, you know, in this bracket, and a lot of people have them or, you know, obviously Duke coming out. So at some point you're going to, you know, run into one of them or both of them, and those will be tough. And I mean Arizona as well, who's another big time team in the Big 12. You know, it's interesting about Arizona is they were the best offensive team in the Big 12 this year, with Houston having 40% 3-point shooters. You know, and all these other teams with all these other great scores and 3-point shooters. Arizona, the number one offense in the Big 12 with really bad 3-point shooting, or they don't shoot a ton of threes and they don't make a high percentage of them. Caleb Love's their only 3-point shooter. So, you know, I guess there's interesting different ways to do it. And that's by design too, if you talk to Arizona's coach. But yeah, I mean, look, you get hot, you hit some threes. I mean, I would rather be a team that's good at shooting threes than what Kansas was coming into this tournament, or a lot of teams are in this tournament, which, you know, playing inside out. So, I mean, I certainly think that's a better approach when it comes to it. But BYU is going to be a real tough game, and it should be a great game.
All right. Thank you so much for hopping on with us.
Thanks for asking, guys. This is great. Take care.
Awesome. That was Ari Temkin, a host for Big 12 Radio on the TuneIn Network, talking a little bit about Wisconsin versus BYU. We'll get to some Marquette talk and get back to the Packers on the other side. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly, the takeover of Wilde and Tausch.
The Jim, Matt, and Molly takeover of Wilde and Tausch continues next on ESPN Wisconsin and Wisconsin On Demand.
When I see the connection, though I see, I don't stare.
Fish Friday continues on the Jim, Matt, and Molly takeover of Wilde and Tausch. I'm Jim Rutledge alongside Molly Brown and Matt Hamilton. You can see us on the ESPN Madison YouTube. And thanks to everyone across ESPN Wisconsin for listening. We are doing some of our own little bits here on the show as well. We normally are on 4 to 6. If you missed any of our interviews so far, we had Jason Wilde on to talk a little bit of Packers, and we had Ari Temkin on to talk a little BYU versus Wisconsin. Those are both available Wisconsin On Demand, Apple, Spotify, any of those great places. But now we're going to do something that we do on our show, which is basically, you know, everyone gives a prediction, but nobody actually wants to be held accountable for their prediction. So that's the general idea for this segment.
We're not saying it's gonna happen.
Let it ride!
But if it does, then we want credit.
Say that again, because that is an amazing take.
I told you all.
If not, well,
don't quote me, boy, because I ain't said.
Yeah, guys, as Jim set it up, it is don't quote me here, guys, because as Jim said, we don't like to be quoted for the predictions we make on the show. Because who's ever right with these? Just like our brackets. Guys, do you think our don't quote me's will do better than our brackets are doing so far? Apparently not Molly's, though.
Well, Jim is better than mine, but
now my bracket, there's an asterisk with Jim. It's whoever the bracketologist for
Joe Lunardi.
No, it wasn't that him. It was the CBS one, because that's the one that my Carbon World Health League is in. And I said, you know what? Money's on the line. I'm going to let someone else pick it.
So you're really tracking the bracketologist.
I said bracketologist. Yeah, you are in charge.
Mine's going to collapse by Saturday, so I'm good.
Matt, how are we feeling?
Not great.
Okay.
Not great.
All right. Well, hopefully our don't quote me predictions do a little bit better. So this is where we want to make some long shot predictions, because, you know, they got to be something that's a little spicy. But if they don't hit, you can't hold us accountable because you can't quote us. But if they do hit, we do get to take the credit. So Jim Rutledge, why don't you start us off? I know you always got predictions about college basketball as the host of the Jump Around.
Yes.
That's the first one here.
And you can hear the Jump Around or watch it on ESPN Madison's YouTube. Badger dedicated a Badger dedicated digital show that has Nolan Winter on once a week as well. It's 12:30 on Thursdays is when the show starts with me and Pablo Iglesias. So we're going to do our long shot predictions around the Badgers and Marquette because we are on in Milwaukee and across the state. And again, I like Marquette. So I guess what I'm going to do here to be Mr. Positive and to pull Matt Hamilton and endear myself to the listeners across the state, I'm going to say Marquette and Wisconsin are both going to make the Elite Eight. That's where their run's going to end. But I think both those teams are going to make the Elite Eight. And is that a bold enough prediction? I feel like that's pretty bold.
That's bold. Very bold.
All right, okay. Both in the Elite Eight. So that's my bold prediction. I got Marquette and Wisconsin both in the Elite Eight.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I like how you even have to ask, is that bold enough? Like, honestly, that's...
Well, if you want some... I mean, maybe Ari didn't hype up Badger fans a lot, but according to my bracket here that I had nothing to do with, this person, which I'm rooting for now, has Wisconsin in the Elite Eight.
Okay. So he has it's probably taking on Duke.
No, I don't want to say what he has. Yeah. Marquette doing. That didn't go as well.
Okay.
Maybe losing to New Mexico. But I hope that doesn't happen.
All right. Well, Molly, you take us off next. What is your long shot, don't quote me prediction?
All right. So he thought that he was bold. I predicted that both Wisconsin and Marquette were going to go to the Final Four.
You're drunk.
My brackets actually do have this happening in. Unfortunately for my bracket, I had Michigan State defeating Marquette. So that's not great for my bracket if this actually does pan out, but it's great for Marquette and it's great for Wisconsin. So I do have Florida winning it all, though, if those two teams do end up going to the Final Four. Are you following along with my boop, 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 boop? This is my whiteboard.
You got Wisconsin and Marquette in the Final Four, and you're picking Florida to win it all.
Yeah, but that doesn't really matter. Just Marquette and Wisconsin going to the Final Four. Neither of them will win.
So Matt's in the corner. Do you have them playing each other in the national championship game then?
No, both teams lose next. How's that for bold?
Next? Does that mean that Marquette loses today?
Today to New Mexico, the Badgers. I mean, that's not actually what I wrote in, but you guys.
That's not that bold.
You went so positive and so bold. I thought I would.
Because honestly, I went against what, if I was betting money, I would bet what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
But we're not betting money, and we got to be bold and outrageous. So yours is the safe take. It's pretty safe.
Apparently, it is a safe take. I can't one up you guys again.
Put in a championship game at Hamilton.
That would be That would be amazing.
You could crown yourself Mr. College Basketball if that happens.
You could
forever.
We would let you wear that title.
I was the guy who called the Badgers versus Marquette in the national championship game.
Badgers play Marquette in the national championship game, and the Badgers win by 30.
Hold on. Are we sure that's possible with the brackets, or would they meet in the Final Four?
Nope, possible.
It is. Okay. All right.
Well. And the Badgers just drub them.
So if Matt Hamilton's right, then all three of you guys are just right on your long shot predictions.
Sure, but Matt gets
I would be the most right.
Yeah. I think the 0.05% chance this happens.
I think that's might a little be high there. Right.
There was a better chance that Matt and Molly would have been able to name 14 or 15 seeds they advanced in the tournament than this happened.
Yeah, Matt, big college basketball fan for this week alone, doesn't know his college basketball
just
trivia.
This weekend.
All right, Ryan, give us some negativity. We need it.
I'm actually not going to give negativity. I am excited for this Wisconsin-BYU game tomorrow because, as Jim said, he hosts the Jump Around, and Josh Pastner, college basketball analyst, was the guest earlier this week on the Jump Around. And he mentioned why he thought that this game would be one of the most entertaining games of the NCAA tournament if it were to come. Because Badgers, as Ari said, they launch it from three. 47.9% of their shots come from beyond the arc. Guess what? BYU shoots it more from beyond the arc. They shoot it 48.3% of their shots are three-point attempts. Also, both teams allow over 33% from three, which defensively is not great. I think that this might... I don't know what the record is. But I'm guessing that this sets the record for most three-point makes in a single NCAA tournament game combined.
Ooh.
Okay.
That's a good one.
I would definitely bet the over if you are someone that does those sort of things.
Yes.
Bet the over.
Oh, yes.
Do you know what the record is?
I don't. I'll look it up during the break. Maybe I'll throw it in my SportsCenter read. We'll see. But
Madison can hear it?
Yeah, exactly. So Madison can hear it. We can tell Milwaukee later on. But yeah, I think it's going to be a great game. I'm holding out very much hope that the Badgers get back to the Sweet 16 for the first time in 7 years, too. But
that'd be fun.
I don't want to include that in my don't quote me because I feel like the three-point prediction is enough. And I don't want to jinx the Badgers. I really just – I don't need to jinx it. I know my fandom doesn't have any effect on how they actually play, but I just need them to get to the Sweet 16.
Just knock on all the wood.
None of this is wood in here,
Shut
by
up,
the way.
Shut up, Jim.
I didn't say anything. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly presented by Coors Light.